Let's go now with the message. At Battleship Church, there are two things that we continue to do as Jesus did when he was here on the earth. They are, say it with me, communion and baptism. If you're here visiting today, this is how we do our services. We do them on the big screen, and I write them, and then I give them to Raj, and they get all fancied up for us. But we like you to talk if you can, you know, and read the scripture with us on the big screen. That's what we do here, okay? Both communion and baptism do what? They proclaim the gospel. Now say with me what the gospel is. Here's what the gospel is. Say it out loud. Jesus died on the, and Jesus, one more time so you got it. Jesus died on the, and Jesus rose from the. If you go, well, I thought the gospel was this. I thought the gospel was church attendance. I thought gospel was being baptized. I thought the let me tell you what the gospel is. Say it one more time. Jesus died on the, and Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, I thought about giving money or dressing up real pretty. It ain't about any of that. Are y'all listening? Communion and baptism both proclaim one thing, the gospel. That's why we still do it 2,000 years later. It's all about the gospel. Last week we looked at communion. I'm not going to re-preach it, but it means this. The word communion means what? Come together. That's what it says in the Bible. It doesn't go, they had communion, they had communion, they had communion, they had communion. It goes, they came together, they came together, they came together. And then they came together. Amen? Coming together is a good thing. That's what communion means, according to the Bible. Now, there's five things or six things that we saw last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that must be done if you're going to have communion. There was a church that had lost its mind, the church at Corinth, and Paul the apostle wrote a scathing letter trying to correct a lot of their problems, and one whole chapter, Pertinere, deals with how they had screwed up communion, okay? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go read it sometime. It's not that hard to figure it out. But here's what he said. Here's what you got to do. Pop it up, all of them. You got to get along. You can't have communion. You can't take the Lord's table, and you can't even get together as a group of church folk and have good church where it means something if you're meaner than a snake and ill as a hornet and mad at somebody. Y'all listening or no? Say, well, I don't like that person. Well, then go somewhere else. Amen? Come on. Grow up. Get over it. If the blood can't help you get over aught with your brother and sister, we all up the creek, ain't we? Say, get along. That's what Paul said. They were fussing. They were fighting. I'm a Paul. Get fellowshipping. What's that mean? They were breaking bread together. They were going from house to house. They were getting with each other. Amen? Some people think, well, y'all aren't very spiritual because all y'all do is get together and eat. Well, hey, that's a lie. We do a lot more than that. But getting together and eating is biblical, friend. Are you listening? If I wanted to really, really, really be super biblical, then I'm probably going to need to be eating at every one of your houses. Amen? I want to tell you how blessed I am. This morning somebody walked in the door and gave me a Bob Evans card. Now we talking, baby. Come on! Woo! Anyway, let's go on, Zion. But they did that. They broke bread from house to house. Then it says, get focused. See, they were, instead of fellowshipping, they were arguing about the food. They were pushing and shoving. One guy was over in the corner, if you read it carefully, he's drunk, wasted. Somebody else is starving to death. It's because somebody over here is a pig. That's what was going on. We don't have fellowships to eat. Now, the food there, and we love it. We have fellowships to love on one another. Y'all understanding? Say. That's the kind of environment we have. We put it on billboards. We love Jesus, we love people because we think it matters. Amen? It does matter. It's a good thing. Then you got to get focused. We said that. It's about the death and burial of Jesus. That's what communion's all about, his resurrection. Then you got to get right. If you're not right with God, get right, the Bible teaches. Amen? If your attitude's out of whack, if you got aught with your brother, you're not fit for communion. Are y'all listening? And the last thing was get real. Get real. Paul said, if you're hungry, eat at your house. Amen? That's not the reason we get together. Amen? That's a beautiful thing, eating and sharing. But the real reason is him, and the real reason is love. We don't push and shove, we love. Say that. We don't push and shove, we love. Amen. That's good, ain't it? That's communion. All right, so we talked about that. Let's move. And Rods, I know I told you earlier, but we are going to have to try to fly through this, and we're going to see how you can push me this morning. Amen? Must do it. Baptism is the message today. Isn't that a pretty shot looking up from under the water? There you are. Baptism. We do two things, communion and baptism. Why do we do them? Let's look at it. Let's investigate it a little bit. Baptism comes from the Greek word what? Baptizo. What does baptizo mean? Here's what baptizo means. We'll just push on through this. It means to dip like a piece of cloth is dipped into a vat of dye. That's what it means. It's a Greek word. It means to dip like a piece of cloth would be dipped into a vat of dye. Okay? If you just take your fingers and you put it into the dye and take your cloth and go, it ain't going to be all dipped, is it? Say. Amen? It don't mean sprinkling. It means to dip like you dip something in a vat of dye. That's what it means. It means, actually say that, to what? Submerge into. Didn't you like the baptism shots? Did you see them? Did you see how they're going, I mean, they're submerged. They're gone. And whoop, there they go again. That's what the word literally means. But now watch it. Listen. Now Webster says it means a little something different. And I understand why they say this, because words can sort of change. Look what Webster says. To initiate into a church by sprinkling water or immersing. I can understand why they say that, because that's what it means a lot, doesn't it? Say. But let me tell you something. Baptism doesn't initiate you into anything at fellowship, okay? All right? Baptism isn't, we're not the Rotary Club here. Are you listening? Say, you got to go through the initiation. That's not what we do here. You get baptized because it's a command of God. It shows the death of Christ, His resurrection, that you believe in it. Amen? You're saved and you want to trust Him and live for Him. That's what baptism means. But I can see why a lot of people in our world today have been sprinkled or they've been immersed and they think they're going to heaven and they're not. Because they truly don't have a faith in Jesus Christ. Do you hear me say? We're in trouble when baptism becomes some kind of initiation. I don't know if you're listening. But we're in trouble when something so sacred as communion and baptisms just become symbols and little initiation things. It means more than that. I hope you're getting it. It's important. Now, what Webster says is politically correct. It sounds real nice, and I can understand why he said it. But the word actually means to dip as into a vat, like you're dipping a cloth into a vat of dye. That's what it means. Keep looking. Baptism, must do it. I just want to say one other thing. It must be important. I want to stop just 1 second. I think if you can, you ought to dip. Amen? If when you baptize, you can, you ought to dip. You ought to go down in the water. Why? Because that's what the word means. And it's a wonderful picture. Think about it. Over 2,000 years ago, the genius of God came up with this idea of baptism, and it shows forth the death and the resurrection. Could you do better than that, say? Think about how genius that is. Anybody that has some water can do it, can't they? On the planet. I mean, what else could we do? Get us a big old hole and put a rock in front of it and everybody get in the hole. And we're going to come out the hole and we believe in the resurrection. You see what I'm saying? It was just genius. And buddy, you know what water is death too. You know that, don't you, man? If you stay under that water too long, you'll do what? You'll die. That's an old watery grave right there. See how beautiful that is? It's a picture of Jesus' death. But we don't stay down, do we? We come up because He didn't stay down. He came up. That's the picture. But as far as the mode, hey, in Iraq, they don't have a lot of water. We've seen video footage where they get a little bit of water they can, and the chaplain, he just pours it over their head. It just runs down them. I can understand that. I have no problem with that. Tell what you're doing. Tell what it's for. Let them know it ain't the water that did it. Amen? Say. I mean, I love Inglewood water. It's good water. Amen? But it won't get you to heaven. Amen? It won't wash your sins away. Amen? But let, you know, so I got no real problem with the mode. But let me tell you, I like to dip because that's what the word means. I like to dip, especially in Inglewood, because we got lots of water, don't we? Say. We got lots of water. We got the bay, got the beach. We'd be nuts not to dip. What a beautiful picture. Okay? Baptism, we must do it. It's not an option. Baptism doesn't take a person to heaven. I do not believe that. But I do not understand a person who says they're a Christian and yet they refuse to be baptized. That's just being a little stubborn, okay? You might be scared of water. I can understand that. I'm not saying do it right now. Do it right now. I would just pray about it, though. Amen? And Lord, you know, alleviate my fear. You can even set up a meeting with me, and I'd be happy if you want three people out there to surround you. We'll help you. Amen? Not a problem. But we ought to do what Jesus says do. It must be important. Let me tell you why. Several things. Someone special was sent from God to witness and baptize. What was his name? Somebody tell me. His name was John. Look at it. Remember how John was born? Normal birth, but remember his parents were old, couldn't have children? And God, in a miraculous way, made it where they could? I mean, so God must have really wanted this guy on the planet. Amen? Say. And his whole thing was being a witness and baptizing. John 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that's Jesus, that all men through Jesus might believe. He was not that light, Jesus. He was not Jesus, John wasn't, but he was sent to bear witness of Jesus. John 1:15, John bare witness of Jesus and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me. Say that part with me. For he was what? Physically and technically, from a physical standpoint, who was the oldest, John or Jesus? John, but he says he was before me. Why? Because he knew Jesus was God. He's always been. You can share that with a Jehovah's Witness. Amen? Jesus is God. He's always been. He is our Creator. Amen? That's what the Bible clearly teaches, and John knew it. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said after me, there comes a man that's preferred before me, for he was before me. So John came to this planet through a birth. Wasn't a virgin birth, but it definitely had some miracle going on. Amen. God helped. So God, baptism must be important because he sent this guy, and his name's John the what? When I was ignorant, more ignorant years ago than I am now, I used to think John was a Baptist. Because I was a Baptist, so John's a Baptist, amen? So we the real church, ain't we? John won't no Baptist, amen? He was John the Baptist because he what? He baptized. Okay? Lots of denominations baptized by immersion, right? Not just Baptist. Okay? So it must be important because this special critter God had come here, that's John, to witness and to baptize. Look, it must be important, say it with me, because Jesus Christ himself was what? Baptized. I know this can get a little old hat for some of you, but we're going to read it anyway. Here we go. Matthew 3:13-15. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of John. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? Jesus, I mean, I'd have done the same thing if Jesus said to me, hey, I'd like to be baptized Wednesday. I'd go, no way. You baptize me. Amen? Isn't that what we'd all do? Say. John was baptizing for repentance. John was baptizing for confession of sin. That's what he was doing. Jesus didn't need to confess sin, and Jesus didn't need to repent. So it was a good thing. John said, no, not you. But Jesus got baptized anyway. Why? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. Do it now, John. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all what? What's that word? Righteousness. So he suffered him, or he did it. Jesus basically said, baptize me, John, because this is right. This is right. I'm telling you today, you need to follow the Lord in baptism, whether it's Pastor Gary Clark to baptize you or some other pastor. Listen, you ought to be baptized because it's right. Y'all listening? It's right. Must be important. Special guy was sent doing it. Then Jesus, the Son of the living God, who didn't need to repent of sin, he even did it. Must be important because God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, they were real pleased about it, weren't they? Look at it. Look at the scripture. After Jesus was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Say that part with me. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, say this, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well what? I got to thinking about that. How many things can we really do to please God? Say. He says, Jesus commands us to be baptized. If you don't do that to please him, what are you going to do to please him? Think it through. Well, I put a little money here. Well, that's nice, but he gave you everything anyway. Amen. Come on. This is something you can do of your own will. I choose to do this. It's my choice, Lord. I choose. I believe in you. And I'm not going to be ashamed of you. I'm willing to proclaim you. And not only is it right, it's good for you. Amen? It's just good for you to know I did that for him. Not for any other reason. Just because I love you and it's right, Lord. It must be important because from the get-go, Jesus told his disciples to baptize people. A lot of people miss these scriptures. Look at it. By the way, I read every verse on baptized, baptism, baptizing, baptized. Went all through them. Could preach 4 or 5 messages on this without a problem. Look at what we see. He told his disciples from the get-go to baptize. John 3:22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and did what? Baptized. Now it sounds like Jesus is doing the baptizing until you read this. Keep reading. John 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, so who baptized more people? The disciples and Jesus or John? Jesus and the disciples. Okay? But watch it. It sounds like Jesus is baptizing. Would you read verse 2 with me? Though Jesus himself did what? So did Jesus baptize? Yes or no? Who did it? His disciples baptized. And they baptized more than John. And none of those guys get to be called Luke. His disciples, the Baptist. You know what I mean? It's crazy. He left Judea and he departed again into Galilee. All right? So it must be important. Now look at this last thing. It must be important because it was a big part of the last thing Jesus commanded his disciples to do. Wouldn't you think the last thing somebody ever told you to do before they leave the planet would be important? Say, you know how you are when you go on a trip and you got family watching things. Now don't forget to feed the dog because that's important. Amen? Don't forget to lock the door when you leave because that's important. Amen? Do not leave the iron on. That's important. Look at what Jesus said. He's resurrected. He's now meeting with his disciples before he ascends. Watch it. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look at what he says. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, say it with me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. Say that with me. I have what? Commanded you. It's not an option. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It must be important. Did y'all get that or not? Now the message is going to move faster. I want you to see that. It must be important. I don't want to ask this question and get hands raised, but I do think there's probably some of you today that think I'm making more of baptism. It could just be my friend Earl talking to me here. But anyway. But you might be thinking I make more of this than what I ought. But you're wrong. Okay? Oh, it would be a whole lot easier for me to never mention this. It'd be a whole lot easier than me not to get soaking wet. Amen? Especially in November and December and January when I've done it before, nearly froze to death. It'd be a whole lot easier for me not to say this. But this is Bible. Whether you understand it or not, that's why we teach it, so you'll get an understanding. Is that understandable? Amen? Baptism, it looks like to me, and that's just me writing them off. It's pretty quick there. Wasn't that hard. It must be important. Look at it all. Amen? Look at this. What must baptism proclaim? Now, I put it that way for this reason. What could baptism possibly be picturing? Say, think it through. Here's what I came up with right here. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I can't think of anything else that baptism pictures. Can you say? And look at what the scriptures say. Look at it. There it is. It pictures the death, the burial, And when we lift them up, what? The resurrection of Jesus. Look at some scripture on that real quick. Romans 6, Paul teaching, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into what? Death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life." When I say raised to walk in newness of life, I didn't get that out of a little Baptist book or something. Amen? Got that out of the Bible. Did y'all see it? Say. "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Buried with him, Colossians 2:12, in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead." Okay? So it can only mean one thing. Do y'all agree with that? Say. I hope you understand that. That's all it can mean. That's what it means. Boy, that should help you want to do it. Amen? Say. You're not doing this to be initiated into anything. You're doing this because the Lord told you to do it. You're doing it because it speaks of one thing, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why I'm doing it. Okay, keep looking. What must be done before baptism? Before a person is baptized? Can I just go today? Amen. What needs to take place? Let's look at it real quick. First, you must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why would I do something over here which means that, but I don't believe that? Does that make any sense? Say. Now, I'm going to go do that, but I don't believe that. What? That doesn't make any sense. So before you're baptized, you got to believe. Mark 16:16. "He that believes and is what? Baptized shall be saved." There are churches that teach that if you're not baptized, you're not a Christian. I don't believe that. Let me tell you why I don't. This verse is one of the reasons I don't. "But he that believes what? Not shall be damned." It doesn't say, "But he that believes not and is not baptized shall be damned." Does it say? But I do wonder about a person who says they believe in Christ, but they won't get baptized. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm just saying, man, what can I do to help you get that done? Amen? Can I help you? Can I help you some way? I'm trying to help you today. And some of us in the building, we got this down. We sort of know this truth. And so we're all sort of helping by just getting it rehashed again. Amen? If it helps you. Look at this. Acts 8:12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were what?" Belief comes before what? Baptism. Did y'all see that say? Belief comes before baptism. Let's look at another one. Philip and the Ethiopian. Look at this one. "Then Philip opened his mouth." This guy was sitting there reading the book of Isaiah. "He opened his mouth and he began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus Christ." Keep looking. "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water." So Philip's been preaching to him about Jesus. They come to some water. The Ethiopian eunuch says, "See, here's water, dude. What hinders me to be baptized? Can't I get baptized?" Look at what Philip said. Say it with me. "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." Well, what was the guy's answer? He answered and said, say it with me. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the..." I believe he did it then, didn't he? Let's see if he got baptized. "And he commanded that the chariot stop." Slow down, boys. "And they went down out, both of them, and they went where? Into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he did what? He baptized him." So what needs to happen before a person gets baptized? They need to believe. Now this is going to ruffle some of your feathers. Here we go. "But Pastor Clark, I was baptized when I was a baby." I hate to break the news to you. You didn't know what you were doing. You understand? Say, "Oh, I didn't know what." No, you didn't. Come on now, think with me here. Okay, come on. Calm down. Calm down. Listen, you didn't know what you were doing, okay? But mama knew. Well, that ain't what we're talking about. We ain't talking about your mama, all right? You didn't know what you were doing. A church made up that the way they did that. It's not in the Bible. You understand? I'm not condemning anybody that wants their children to be dedicated and to grow up and know Jesus. Amen? That's a good thing. But to somehow think I'm baptized as an infant and somehow that means I'm have been baptized, you haven't believed it. You have not believed at that point in your life. You need to be baptized after you what? That just makes common sense. You got to know some things. You know what I mean? You got to know some things. You got to know that you know Jesus loves you and that He died on the cross for you. That's what it's all about. All right? So what must be done? You got to believe. And I put this up because I believe with all my heart. Number two. Second, you must gladly receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior before you're baptized. Look at the Scripture. Look at the Scripture. This is Peter over in the book of Acts. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. And boy, you ought to read that message. He preached hell hot. It was ugly what he was saying. Every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41, say that first part with me. Then they that what? Gladly received his word were what? Baptized. What do I mean by that? You need to believe. Before you're baptized, you need to believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. But also, I personally think, and I don't want to baptize you, unless you've gladly received him as your Savior. What does that mean? That means I want you to be glad about what you're doing. Does that make sense? Say, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Why? Because I'm a believer in Christ. I don't want you to come get baptized because I guilt-tripped you into doing it. I don't want you to be baptized because Mama said I had to, Pastor. I just got to do it. We didn't find somebody else. Gladly, man, my sins are forgiven. Amen, hallelujah. I believe in the Lord. I'm going to live for Him gladly. Does that make sense? Okay? Those things need to be done. It must be your decision, not the church or somebody else's. I read an article recently in the paper about Southern Baptists. They're huge, you know, largest denomination in the United States. But they're not meeting their quota or their goals for baptizing people. And it's a real problem. And they're just cracking the whip. Boy, you got to get out there and baptize your people, baby! Listen to me. I don't want you to get baptized because we're trying to meet a quota. Are you listening? I want you to get baptized because you love Jesus Christ. I want you to get baptized because you've been saved. That's why we want you to get baptized, because it's a command and you want to do it. I'm not saying they do it out of a bad motive all the time, but I think if you have that as your goal, sometimes that can lead down a bad road sometimes. Are y'all hearing me? It shouldn't be somebody else's decision either. So what should I do? I should repent of my sins. I'm a sinner. I should believe in Jesus Christ. And finally, I should receive Him as my Lord and Savior. And then the message is over. Last thing this morning, baptism. Why must I be baptized? It's real simple. Here it is. Jesus commanded. Can you say that? Jesus commanded it. So number one reason I should be baptized is because Jesus commanded it. Number two reason I should be baptized personally, here it is. And this is something that I just feel like I saw in Scripture and I want to share it with you. Your conscience demands it. Some of you today, and I love you, I love you. But some of you today are feeling guilty. You're feeling a little odd today because I'm talking about baptism and you ain't baptized. And you're feeling like, oh man, he's picking on me. You know, oh man, I need to do it, but I don't know if I'm going to do it. You know what? You ought to be baptized because your conscience is saying to you, get baptized. Amen? Get baptized. If you say you're a Christian, and this is what the Bible teaches, and the man showed you on the screen and laid it clear as plain English, I thought, then go ahead. Your conscience demands it. Look at this verse, these verses over in 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good what? Conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, and angels and authorities and powers are made subject unto Him. But you ain't. Listen, if he's seated on the right hand of God the Father, and I believe he is, and he's commanded his children, Christians, to be baptized, and everybody else is subject unto him, but you ain't. Come on. Your conscience, if you let it now and not have an attitude, your conscience will go, man, that's right. I should get baptized. You know, it's the right thing to do. Does that make any sense to you? So Jesus commanded it. My conscience demands it. That's why I need to get baptized. It's the right thing to do. Last scripture, Acts 19:1-5. This is for some of you who are baptized as a young child or as an infant, or we'll look at it. Acts 19:1-5, the Apostle Paul. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, and he found certain what? Disciples. He found some disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether they be any Holy Ghost. Wait, what do you mean, received him? We ain't even heard of him. Look at it. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Your disciples? You seem to want to follow God. And they said, unto John's baptism. So undoubtedly they were baptized, they repented, they confessed their sins, but they hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost, and quite frankly, they hadn't heard about Jesus. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is Christ. Now when they heard that, when they heard him say that, they were what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now here's the point. Pop it up, Raj. I'll let you finish out. If you were baptized as a child or a teenager, as an adult for that matter, watch it. And you're not absolutely convinced that you knew what you were doing and who you were doing it for, I would seriously consider getting baptized again. Here were people that seemed to have a heart for God, but they hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name. And they really hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost in Jesus. And boy, when they did, Paul didn't say, oh, that's okay, you had John's baptism. Did he say that, yes or no? He said, no. Now that you know Jesus as your Savior, we're going to baptize you. And he baptized them. So my point is to you today, I meet people like this all the time. I met a dear lady this morning, and I love her to pieces. She came up to me, and she said she didn't really know what she was doing, she thought. She did out of peer pressure. Let's just raise some hands if we feel like a few of us got baptized in our life before out of some peer pressure. Can I see some hands? Anybody willing to say it? Okay. How about somebody told me to do it and made me do it, and I just didn't even know what I was doing really? Can I see some hands? Let's just be honest with us this morning. Okay? I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to say it happens. I think now that you know Christ as your Savior, who cares what you did back when? Do you know Him now? Are you sure you're a Christian? Then why not follow Him in baptism and live for Him? Does that make sense? That's my invitation to you.